Most of the population of Sitwe, except one neighborhood, have basically been displaced now and are forced to live in rather squalid refugee camps, which is mostly a sea of tents, actually. But the government, with the aid of international groups and agencies, have already started building some kind of transitional shelter in bamboo. But even these shelters are also very overcrowded. There is one room allocated for one family. And as the shelter are being built, of course, there are still many people staying in tents. And also there were two schools in the area which were totally overcrowded. See, we heard that about 2,000 people were actually squeezed into one small village school area. And they had to sleep all over in the classrooms, and they were cooking outside. But it's really overcrowded. And sanitation especially was very unacceptable. For example, one camp we saw at the time, there was only like 12 toilets for 2,000 people. There was some food distribution, that's true, and some non-food items. Some pumps to get drinking water had been established. But what was really lacking was the water and sanitation and also health services. We basically found a couple of local clinics set up by the Ministry of Health, but they were empty. We were told that some medical staff were visiting only in the morning very briefly, but there was definitely a need for urgent humanitarian assistance, especially in terms of health. And of course, the overcrowding was another problem.
We've tried several times without success to ask the Burmese government what they're planning to do about the crisis in Rakhine State. But from what you saw in Sitwe, how do you think the local authorities were coping?
Well, I'm not so sure it is only the matter of the local authority. It's first of all that the situation in Sitwe was still very volatile and extremely tense. The two populations were completely segregated. That means people living in the camps, they could no longer go even walk or work in the town, and so they were completely dependent of humanitarian assistance. Mostly local staff were affected. They wouldn't dare to go and work in the camps, so there was a significant lack of capacity. And of course, another issue, which is very serious, is the lack of funding. And we can see, despite a lot of pledges and promises, there was still very little money that actually had filtered to the ground. Just after my visit, the neighborhood of Omingla, which is still standing, which was only partially destroyed during the June unrest. Every week there has been a tentative by Rakhine extremist group and others to attack it. And the military are inside and have been so far managed to protect it, but I wonder for how long. And the people there live in fear, but also in extreme need, because they cannot work outside the quarter. And as they are not displaced, they do not receive humanitarian assistance. So that situation was extremely dire in Omingla.
Do we have a rough estimate of the refugee numbers currently in the Sitwe camps?
Well, there was, until before the crisis, the figures was at 68,000 roughly. But now, with the new crisis, I think the UN declared again there was another 30,000 displaced, not just in Sitwe, actually somewhere else, because it seems in Sitwe there are at least another 10,000 or more that have arrived in the last few days. And there are people still apparently waiting in boats, just trying to reach the camp. And the situation is still ongoing, so it's difficult to give any kind of clear estimates.
Well, you mentioned people fleeing in boats, but I gather that in the past 6 months alone to May this year, that 8,000 Rohingyas have left Rakhine or even neighbouring Bangladesh by boat for Malaysia or Thailand. And these figures were the highest since you started tracking these boat journeys back in 2006. Can you tell us about that?
The figures I had quoted earlier, it was also an estimate, of course. Nobody knows the exact figure. But that was for the sailing season, I would say, before the crisis happened in Arakan State. So now, obviously, we expect that there may be a lot of people who try to flee to other countries already. On the two occasions of the incident of violence in June and now again, some boats have tried to land in Bangladesh, but Bangladesh has been turning them away. But at the same time, I mean, some of these people, the desperate people, I think they will find the only way is to try to go somewhere else. And obviously there are Malaysia and other countries where there are already a number of Rohingya there may see a new influx. I mean, Malaysia has so far treated the Rohingya much better than Bangladesh. However, the problem is also access to protection, and that is not the end of the problem for the Rohingya. One doesn't know what would be the reaction if there is a big influx, I mean, a large number of people arriving suddenly. This is difficult to predict.